Well, every year we seek the Lord and ask for a theme that He might give us for this year. And so this morning I want to share with you the theme that we feel the Lord has given us for 2024. And we presented it here on a slide. And the theme is, speak up. Speak up. And if you'll notice, there's a number of people here on the graphic, and some of them, they have a profile that's dark. Others have a profile that's light. And that's to signify that we are either part of the kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of light. And the scripture says that we have been transformed from the kingdom of darkness and been brought into the kingdom of light. And so we see that depicted here on the screen. Now, as you can see, there are more people in the dark than people in the light. And that's very biblical, because it talks about that the majority of people will not see, will not enter in, but there will be those that do. And for the people that do, we're to do something. What are we to do? Speak up. Speak up. We have seen some things. We've experienced some things. And so we need to speak up. So this coming year, we're going to talk about speaking up in so many different aspects and avenues and aspects of life. We want to speak up into that. We want to speak in days to come, weeks to come. You know, how do we speak up? The wisdom of speaking up and how to do it in a way that's most effectively when we speak up. So there's lots of things that we'll be talking about in the weeks to come. This morning, I just want to set the theme to speak up. To speak up. Now, hope that you picked up a fill-in sheet when you came in to be allow you to take home some of these thoughts that you can meditate on them and pray about them. Here's the first point. The prime directive from the Lord is to speak up. The prime directive of the Lord is to speak up. It says in Acts 1 in verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So, the prime directive that the Lord gave as He revealed Himself as the risen Savior to His people, and then ascended into heaven. But before He ascended, the last words He said to them, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses." Now, if you're going to be a witness, you have to speak up. You can't be shy. They don't put you on the witness stand, and you don't say anything. They would say, "What did you put them on the stand for?" The whole idea of a witness is to speak the things that you know, the things you've experienced, and that you have seen. And so we are to be witnesses. So I want you to see, this is our prime directive. There are lots of things we could focus on in the Christian life. And there's a lot of things we should focus on and a lot of things we're encouraged to do as Christians. But do you see the prime directive? The one that when Jesus said, "Now, don't go right now to do this, but you go wait in Jerusalem till you receive power. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and it's going to empower you to do what?" It says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, So it starts right where you are. It's going to start right here in Jerusalem. Then it's going to spread to Judea, which is the province that Jerusalem was in. It'll go to Samaria, the surrounding nation, and then to the ends of the earth. This is your prime directive. You're going to be my witnesses. This is why you can't do this on your own. You need to have power to do this. You know why? Because we're intimidated so often. We're shy. We feel like no one's going to hear us. Nobody wants to hear us. And if I do speak, what good will it have? And so we get into this whole thing of if it was just left to our own sense, we would try to do it, but we wouldn't be very effective in it. We need a power, the power of the Holy Spirit. You need to realize as you stir up this power and stir up the Spirit that we've all received, why are we stirring it up? What's the outlet for it? The outlet is that we'd be witnesses, that we'll speak up, that we won't be silent. And there's a power to do it. And so it starts right where you are, but it wasn't limited to that. It was then go into the province, go into the country, going to the surrounding countries, to the ends of the earth. This is what we are called to do. So what happened after these words were spoken? The disciples and 120 of them went into the upper room and they waited for 10 days. And on the day of Pentecost, this Holy Spirit power baptism happened. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They spilled out of the upper room into the streets of Jerusalem, because that's where it was going to start, in Jerusalem. And there was lots of questioning. What's happening? What's going on? I'm sure there were people who were followers of Jesus, and now he's crucified, and we've heard all these rumors, and we don't know what's happening. And so all these things are is here. And so what happens next? We find it in Acts 2:14. But Peter, standing with the 11, the other apostles, lifted up his voice. Now notice what it is. He lifted up his voice. I mean, he raised his voice. He didn't just speak with a normal voice because there was lots of voices there. He had to raise up his voice above the other voices. So he lifted up his voice. This is the promise that was said earlier. You're going to receive power. You're going to be my witnesses. This is the first application of it. They've received the power. They come out of the upper room. They're standing there. And so it says he lifted up and he addressed them. Like he addressed them. He was speaking to them. He wasn't just sort of speaking into a void. He was aware of the people that he was speaking to. And he addressed them and said, "Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you." There are some things that needed to be made known. He lifted up his voice, got their attention, addressed them, and said, "Let this be known to you, and give ear to my words." He was aware what he was going to say was necessary and important. So he says, "Listen to me, what I'm saying here to you. Give me your attention." He's shouting it out to them. Give me your attention. Give me your ear. I have something you want to know. I want to enlighten you. I want to share something with you. And so this is the beginning of speaking up. The very first thing that the early church did was they spoke up. This is really what the Great Commission is. I use the term prime directive, but it's the Great Commission. This is what we're given. This is, you know, when we stand before the Lord and we're going to give an account of the things that we've done on earth, don't you think the first thing the Lord might ask us about is the prime directive? You know, he could ask us about how we did our family and how we did this and how we handled our job. And like how he could ask a lot of things, but I got a feeling if this is the first thing, this is the center, this is what it's all about, I think he's going to ask about, did you speak up? Did you open your mouth? Or did you remain quiet and say nothing? I think this is part of how we're going to be evaluated in that judgment of the Lord. It's the Great Commission. I put it here in Mark 16:15. It says, he told them, go into all the world and proclaim the good news to every creature. Now that's quite a commission. That commission is still going on today. We haven't gone into the world. Not every creature has heard. And so we are to go into all the world, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. We're to share something by lifting up our voices. We're to say something. And it's to extend to every creature. Now let's just sort of make it more personal. Every creature you meet. Every person you encounter. Everyone that comes across your path. Every person that you have a dealing with. In the back of your mind should be a commission. How would I speak up and get this person's attention, be able to speak into their life, because I have something that's valuable to them. This is something that's very important. Listen to Romans 14 as Paul addresses a church in Rome, and he says this to them when he's talking about this whole matter of sharing good news with people. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? So we want people to respond, but he's saying the world needs to believe, but how will they believe unless they hear something? And well, how will they hear something unless someone tells them? But you see how it all comes back to our prime directive, that we have a commission, that we have a sense, this is my calling, this is my prime calling. This is the most important calling. I have good news to share, and I need to do and have a sense of every person I meet. And we're going to talk in days and weeks to come. It doesn't just mean we just, without thought, we just quickly talk into every situation. No, there's a wisdom that comes, and there's a direction of the Holy Spirit of when and how to speak. But man, we have to have a sense, this is what I'm about. This is my calling. I meet someone. One of the thoughts as I meet them is, wow, I wonder if they've heard. I'm to tell every creature. I have good news to share. This is what I'm put on this earth for. This is why I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm to share with this person. It's a sense of knowing your calling. But we can be concerned about so many things that are of significance, but not the main calling. And so they're not going to hear without us. I mean, the Lord did his part. You know, he said that Last Supper, he knew, man, this next hours are going to be something else. And he said, he's one, you know, you know that. He did, but he accomplished his part. But now, we have been given a commission. Go tell them what I've done. And so, we need to feel that responsibility. The Lord said, the harvest is plenteous. It's the laborers that are few. There's not enough people who are speaking up, and that's the bottleneck. Because they're not going to believe unless they hear, they're not going to hear unless someone tells them, and they're not going to do that unless they hear. And we speak and we tell them the situation. So Jesus did his part, now we need to do our part. And it's very important. You know why? Here's the next point. Our words give life to people. Our words give life to people. Psalm 119, verse 50. For your word has given me life. Two aspects of life. Eternal life. And also an abundant life here on this earth. So we have eternal life in quantity, but we have abundant life here on this earth because we're living in the knowledge of truth and understanding that's enlightened us, that's given us eternal life, but it's also enriched our natural life. As someone said, you know, really, if there was no heaven or hell, it would be worthwhile serving God right here. There's enough riches and blessings that come to our life right here on earth. But of course, not only here, but in the life to come. It gives life. Jesus said in John 6 and verse 63, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak to you, the words I speak to you are spirit and they are life." Jesus realized, he's here as a man, he's speaking natural words, but he's realizing the words I'm speaking, they're actually words of life. And they're spiritual, they're spiritually unctioned. We're saying something that's bringing life. So you need to be aware in that the words you speak are bringing life. If they don't have that dimension, they're like idle words. They have no importance. They have no significance. And the Bible says we're going to give an account of every idle word. We speak a lot of words out of our mouth. But Jesus said, the words I speak, they're spirit and they're life. That should be our motivation. Everything I speak, I'm speaking from the Spirit, and I know this will bring life to the person. I'm a conduit of God's life. Now, does that mean that I always got to be speaking about spiritual things and I never can joke and I never can just be involved in natural things? No, of course not. Because we're in this world and we have to relate to people. We have to build rapport with people. We're in this world, but we're not of it. But listen, everything you do and everything you say should have a sense I'm doing this as unto the Lord. I'm involved in this because the Lord wants me to be involved in this. I may be talking about something that's natural. It might be something in light of my vocation. But I know my overall purpose is to be involved here and be engaged in these conversations because I'm a witness. And at some point, God's going to give me the words to say. So we're never just speaking natural words with a motivation that has no spiritual significance. I'm just doing this. I'm just speaking these words. It's just my idea. I need to give them a piece of my mind. I need to do this. You know how we are many times. And the Bible says, you know, those are not good words. But whatever you do, whatever you speak, let there be a purpose behind it. That I'm engaged in this conversation, and it might be a very natural conversation with an individual, but you realize, I love this person. God loves this person. I'm engaged with this person. We may not be talking about spiritual things right now, but the words I'm speaking are leading to that because I'm a witness, and I'm waiting for the opportunity. I'm waiting for the Spirit to prompt me. Now's the time to drop that seed. And so nothing you say is idle. It all has a purpose. We're speaking as the oracles of God, as the scripture says. This is a real, you're witnesses. And now here's the thing. We need to speak up. If you don't speak up, it's not going to have its effect. You have to speak up. It says this in Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Let me put it this way. Life and death is in the power of your tongue. I mean, think about it for a moment. Life, eternal life. enlightening people to live their life on this earth better. That power is in your tongue because we're witnesses. We're called to be that. He's gone away. He's left us with this commission. The power is in my tongue. If I don't say anything, it's death. Or I could say words that's death. I can just speak negatively. I could just speak my fears. I could speak all the bad things that could happen. I could speak forth all the doubts that Satan puts in my mind. Or I can speak life. And I see what God is wanting. And I speak God's promises. Listen, your life, really, your natural physical life, whether it's good or bad, is in the power of your tongue. Now, we talked about this last year when we talked about this whole thing of words. But it's very important. It's right there. It's right there. The power is in your mouth. It's with your tongue. So you need to realize, okay, I have this power. Will I use it? Will I use it for good? Will I speak up? Sometimes you speak to yourself. You need to talk to yourself and not just others. The power is in your tongue. What you say, what you speak out. So, very important. Now, here's the next point. We are like salt sprinkled throughout the world. We're like salt sprinkled throughout the world. Matthew 5 and 13, Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." So it's possible that we're in this world and we're salt, we're sprinkled, like we saw in the graphic. There's people with the children of light are sprinkled all over this world with people that are in darkness. They don't understand. They think they're doing right. They can justify themselves, but they're just in darkness. They don't see. But we're children of light, and we are to speak and realize we are the salt. We are to preserve the world. We're to better the world. We are to make the world more tasty, as it were. We're salt. But then the danger is, Jesus said, it could be, though, that the salt loses its savor, its pungency, its effectiveness. It's there, it's salt, but it's really having no effect. You know when we have no effect? When we keep quiet, when we don't speak up. We're there, we're in the situation, but I'm not going to lift my voice. I'm not going to say anything. And as a result, the Lord says, you know, really, as far as the kingdom goes and the effectiveness for the kingdom of God, you're worthless. Not that we're worthless, but as far as our effectiveness to bring value to the kingdom of God, you're worth it. You know, it's, you might as well just throw it out. Trample it underfoot. It's not effective. And I think we have to see it's not effective because we haven't lifted our voice. We're not doing the things that we're supposed to do. And so we're to speak up. Now, let's go to the next point. We are Christ's ambassadors in the world. We are Christ's ambassadors in the world. We speak for the kingdom of God. Now, I think we're all familiar with what an ambassador is. We have ambassadors from Canada to the U.S., to France, to England, to China. We have ambassadors to different countries. What does an ambassador do? They go to represent the nation they're coming from. So they set up an embassy, and in that embassy, in fact, in just natural, they don't say the land that embassy is on belongs to the country. No, that's the Canadian embassy. So that's Canada. That's a little bit of Canada right there in that nation, and it's recognized that that's Canada there. And the ambassador speaks the values, the thoughts of Canada. They're expressing the government of Canada into that local country and that nation. Now, we are ambassadors of Jesus. We have an embassy in this world. And I would say part of the fulfillment of that are the churches, what we are right here. We are a group of God's people coming together. We say we're children of God, brothers and sisters in the kingdom of God. He's our Father. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. We're here to speak up. And so we come here and we can actually celebrate together the body of Christ. We see our foundation of who we are. And then we're to go out and speak for the kingdom of God. Here's a situation arises. People don't know what to do in that country. We as an ambassador of God said, you know, this is what we do in Canada. This is how a value we hold. Here are some of the decisions you should make, because it'll be better for you if you do this, because we want to bring our culture. We want to bring our kingdom to you. And so have that sense. We're in this world, we're not of the world. But we're ambassadors. We're to speak for God. So if you're in a situation where there's uncertainty, what you should do is speak up. Speak up with wisdom. Speak up with grace. Speak up with a sense of humility. But speak up. Don't be silent. I mean, then we're worth nothing. Why are we there? If we're not speaking up, well, it's not my nation. I know it's not our nation. We're in this world. It's not the way we would do things, but what would God say? What would his situation be? What would his wisdom be for this? So I speak up. And I think this is what God is calling us all to do. And we want to emphasize it this year. We are witnesses. We're ambassadors. We're salt. We're light. We're the light of the world. We are to shine into the world. We're to show a different way of thinking, a different way of doing things. And so the only directive we have is speak up. Lift up your voice like Peter did on the day of Pentecost. Here's the next point. Satan's main strategy is to quiet our voice. He doesn't want you to speak up. He knows that's the most dangerous thing if we spoke up. So right here at the very beginning, Peter and John, Peter spoke up on the day of Pentecost. A few days and weeks later, there's a healing. And Peter and John spoke up, but they're arrested because it's causing, people are reacting to it. And so the authorities bring them. And so we read in Acts 4 and 18. I'm just going to read the scripture that's in your notes. So they called them, the authorities called these disciples, called them, commanded them not to speak at all. We don't want you talking. Don't speak at all. Nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go. So the strategy of the enemy has never changed. Just be quiet. Just mind your own business. Just stick to your own house. Don't say anything to us. Don't tell us the teachings of Jesus. Don't speak, don't teach, don't tell us what he's saying. Just be quiet. Satan knows if that's the case, I can make the salt lose its flavor. It's good for nothing then. So the enemy tries to do this. I wonder how successful the enemy is today. He's not threatening us, in this nation anyway, with punishment, but we're just intimidated. Oh, we don't want to speak up. What will people think? I mean, it's really pathetic when you really think about it. I mean, how are we going to stand in the day of judgment? I've thought about this different times, and I give my excuses why I didn't speak up. and someone standing beside me who lived and martyred and gave their life for what they believed in their time. Well, I didn't want to be bothered. I didn't, that was going to affect me if I spoke up. I think the enemy is more successful with his tactics today than back here, because they said, listen, you just, we want to tell you, I mean, should we obey you or obey God? God's given us a commission. We have a prime directive. We're to speak. So we can do nothing else but speak. I mean, sorry. So what did they do when they left? And being let go, they went to their own companions, reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice with one accord to God. Now they're raising their voice to God. Look, or Lord, look on their threats. Grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit do? And they spoke the word of God with boldness. There it is. Sometimes we just have to be stirred up again, saying this is what we are. Well, yeah, we feel this intimidation, but I'm not going to be intimidated. I'm going to speak. I'm going to lift up my voice. I'm going to talk. God help us. Give us boldness to do that. That needs to be a prayer for all of us. Now let's go on. Here's the next one. Every time you speak up makes a difference. Every time you speak up, it makes a difference. Sometimes we don't speak up because we feel, I don't see how this is going to help. People are not being receptive. Why should I speak up? I guess I'll just stop speaking up. You need to realize every time you speak up, it has an effect. It makes a difference when you speak up. Listen to this verse in Isaiah 55:11. My word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty or void, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You need to know that. You may not see the result. You may not see the effect. But just know every time you speak up, it doesn't matter what is the reaction. It's not going to return void to the Lord. It's going to accomplish the purpose of why he said it and why it should be said. Sometimes people are resistant, but the resistance is actually having an effect on them. And they harden, and they harden until a point where suddenly there's a breakthrough. I've been amazed that the people that are the most resistant to what I say are probably feeling the pricking in their heart the greatest. And so they're fighting back at it. Just realize every time you lift up your voice, it's having an effect. Maybe 10 people talked to that person about the Lord and they didn't respond. You're the 11th person and you spoke to them, and suddenly you say, boy, that person was very open. Well, the 10 times earlier, it had an effect. Maybe the person that spoke didn't see it, but it had an effect. God's word, every time you open your mouth, every time you speak up for God, every time you're an ambassador for his kingdom, it's having an effect whether you realize it or not. It will not return void. So what are we to speak? Well, we've already spoken it here. The first thing, you need to speak words of salvation. Words of eternal life. We have a message to share. We've already talked about it. Jesus gave his life. He purchased salvation. They need to believe in Jesus. The only way they're going to believe if they hear. The only way they're going to hear is someone speaks to them and tells them. And so we're in this process. And so we need to speak words of salvation. Will everyone respond positively? No. It didn't happen in the Bible, and it doesn't happen today. Listen to what it says in Acts 17 and verse 32. Paul goes to Athens. He sees on the Acropolis there all these temples to different gods. He sees this altar made to the unknown God. So Paul's wise. He wants to open up and speak up. So he says, listen, I noticed that you got this altar here to the unknown God. Let me tell you about that one. And he begins to preach Jesus to them. And he tells them about Jesus coming, that God created the heavens and the earth, this one that they don't know, that now is the time. Everyone's going to stand before the Lord. He's talking. But he says, you know what? Jesus came. He died on the cross, taking our sins, and he rose again. Now, when he got to that point, it says here in the scripture, Acts 17:32, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Really? You could believe someone rose from the dead? They mocked. They belittled it. So that's the reaction of some people when you speak up. They're going to mock, scorn. They're going to belittle you. They're going to dismiss it out of hand. And it's going to make you feel like, well, I shouldn't have said anything. No, you need to speak up. It's never returned void. It's going to accomplish its purpose. Maybe it didn't in that time, in that moment. Some mocked. It went on and said, while others said, we'll hear you again on this matter. Other people said, well, that's sort of interesting. Maybe we can talk more about that. Let's have another conversation. I'm open to another conversation about that. And we get that response from people. Happened here, happens to us. Wasn't positive, only in that you sort of sense, hey, they didn't close the door. And that's what happened here. And then it goes on to say, however, some men joined him and believed. I tell you, you don't know. Maybe the vast response is people mocking. Maybe they're open, but some are going to believe. Some believed. Some it was their moment. And you never know when it is. You know, all we have to do is just hear the testimonies of people. I'm amazed as I hear someone tell their testimony. And it's the simplest thing. Someone talked to them. Someone invited them. Someone gave them something to read. Someone invited them somewhere. And they talk about how their whole life turned around and changed. We don't know. God's word is powerful. We can't control the results. We're not meant to control the results. But you can control your tongue. And life and death is in the power of your tongue. And you need to speak up. And have that sense. I need to speak up. Here's the last point. Speak words that enlighten people to God's ways. So, yes, there's the message of salvation, but there's also just principles and wisdom in God's word that helps us to avoid pitfalls and troubles and all kinds of difficult things we go through. And if people only knew, they would avoid all those things. And so we are to speak up words to people that will enlighten them to a better way of living. If we don't, the world's left to itself. Jesus spoke to this in Luke 6:39, and he spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? Not everyone is so hardened against the Lord. They just don't know. They're looking for answers to life. How do I solve this problem? How do I handle this difficulty at work? How do I overcome this marriage difficulty? How do I handle this disease I'm going through right now? How do I handle this disappointment, this setback? I mean, people are just struggling. Folks, if you knew how many people prayed at night and said, God, if you're there, I need an answer to this, you would be amazed. They say over 5% of people pray when they have that kind of need. More people pray than believe in God. Because they pray that prayer, God, I don't believe in you, I don't know where you're there, but Lord, if there's anyone there, help me. They're looking for answers. We are children of God. We're ambassadors. They prayed that night a silent prayer, and you meet them the next day. We can be oblivious, just pass it by, speak idle words with them, and never have a sense of destiny. But if you went into every interaction with people and said, Lord, is there something you want me to say? I want to open up. I want to speak up. You'll find that opening. You'll feel the Lord speak to you. And listen to it. I think the next verse, Psalm 119, 130. The entrance of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. A lot of people are just simple. And when you read Proverbs on the simple man, it doesn't condemn him. He just doesn't know. And it says you can speak to the simple and they'll hear and they'll respond. There's a lot of people in the world, they just don't know. They don't even know where the answer comes from. But you come alongside, you care for them, you love them, you're concerned about them, you speak, then speak up when that opening comes. Boy, the entrance of your words into their life will bring light. And it'll bring fresh understanding to them. So do you see this tonight, today, how important it is for us to speak up? People are trying to find their way. We have the answer. Speak God's truth. Life and death is in the power of your tongue. Speak up. Let's stand together this morning. Boy, I just want to, even in preparing these messages, I need them. Well, you say, you're speaking up every Sunday. Yeah, but I know that's sort of the structure I'm in. But what about people I meet? Am I aware, sensitive to speak up? Difficult situations we're in, we're willing to speak up. You know, the disciples for speaking up, I mean, I hate to scare us, but they were all martyred. But they did it with joy. Because they knew, man, there's a joy in the world to come. But you know what? For us, it usually is not going to cost us our life, especially not in our world and country we live. Might just cost us a little embarrassment, discomfort. And sometimes things come back on us that it's not simple to handle. But just know, you know what? I don't need to worry about it. I'm just speaking up, speaking God's truth, trusting God to bring his answer into this. It won't return void. I want to live with that. Do you want to live that way? You want to go into this new year? I just want you to feel this imperative to speak up. Don't remain silent. Let your voice be heard. Father, we do pray today. We realize we need the power of the Holy Spirit to help us do this. You've given us the Holy Spirit to give us power to be witnesses, to speak up. I ask, Lord, that every voice here will be free. Every tongue would be made loose, that everything that tries to quiet and stifle our voice would be removed from us today, that we would move in the power of the Holy Spirit, led of your Spirit, to speak your words when you prompt us. May we have a great effect. May we be salt and light in this world. Teach us as we move into this year more and more of these truths. I pray in Jesus' name. And everybody.